Our final scripture reading this evening is taken from the Gospel of John, from his Gospel, and as we look at that, I'm going to introduce the theme of the message first and then read this text from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. It's on page number 1645 if you want to turn to it as we go through the message this evening. What child is this? Who is this child? The theme of this whole year's preaching has been, who is this man? In fact, that was the title of our Lenten study that we did back leading up to Easter. So we considered the impact and influence that Jesus had over our world down through the millennia. And this season, Advent's theme has been the idea of turning trivial pursuits into memorable celebrations as we prepare to celebrate the birth of this Savior, of this child. We consider Jesus the King who would be a man. We consider Jesus the true star of Christmas, the bright and morning star, and the inspiration for our luminaries around the sanctuary this evening. We consider Jesus God's gift to the nations. We consider Jesus God's marvelous message of salvation. This evening, what child is this, is our question. It's more than just the carol that we sing. It's the framing of our thoughts and consideration, because it's all in the names of Jesus that have been revealed to us through all the scriptures I've been reading tonight. His identity and his personality, his personhood, are wrapped up in his names. They reveal the true identity of Christ. As I have read, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Messiah, the Christ of God, the Anointed One. And the Virgin will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Be very clear about this child's identity. When children are born in the hospital these days, my experience is my children and my grandchildren were born, that as soon as they're born, they are given ID bracelets, actually to wear around their ankle because their wrist is too tiny. And they are immediately taken footprints, marking their identity so things don't get mixed up. Occasionally you hear of some kind of a mix-up, can you imagine, with babies in the hospital? But anyhow, it's critical to know the name of Jesus, to know his identity. You know, it's important to me to try and learn as many people's names as possible before I moved here to Brick some 5.5 years ago. I spent hours, months before we moved, trying to learn people's names from the pictorial directory. And I've gotten pretty well acquainted with a lot of the folks' names that come fairly regularly and so forth. My challenge to myself this year, actually one of my New Year's resolutions, is to try and memorize all the kids of the congregation, their names. So we'll see how I do by next Christmas this year. But, you know, as I get older, it gets harder and harder to remember. So please give me grace. But names, identifying who we are, is important. Who is that kid, after all? Anyhow, as we think about Jesus, we think about Jesus, the reason for the season. We think about Jesus, the centerpiece of our celebration. We think about Jesus, the heart of our Christmas joy and peace. Jesus, the essence of the Christmas gospel. Tonight we want to think about three of his names revealed in John chapter 1. Jesus, the Logos, the Word made flesh. Jesus, the Lamb of God, as John the Baptist was to later say. And Jesus, the Light of the World. Logos, or Word, the Greek word for Word. Lamb and Light. Think about that as I read from John chapter 1. At least two of them will be in these paragraphs. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness could not understand it. There was a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, and his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, or of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Logos, light, lamb. Jesus is the Logos, the Word of God, the Word made flesh, as we read in verse 14. John used this word, Logos, pregnant with significance. In that day, in the first century, Greek philosophers spoke of the Logos as the rational principle, the governing force of all of the universe, a philosophical term. The Hebrew rabbis used this word, referring to God. In a theological sense, the God Jehovah, Yahweh. Therefore, make no mistake, when John uses this reference to Jesus, the Logos of God, he is identifying Jesus as God himself, as divinity. All the cultures in those days, in that civilization, recognized this claim, the divinity that John was putting forth. In fact, the central purpose of his gospel was to identify and demonstrate the divinity or deity of Christ, all of Christ's miracles, all of Christ's things that he claimed, centered on this idea that Jesus was God, was with God, and in the beginning created, just like God the Creator. He is the agent of creation, the creative power of the eternal Word, not just born in Bethlehem, but eternal. Jesus is God's final Word. As God, the last word on the subject, no more introductions, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 1 verses 1 through 3 says, in the past God spoke through our forefathers, through the prophets, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Catch it. This definitive, decisive, conclusive word. That's all, folks. Take it or leave it. This is God's final answer. This logos, the communication of God's heart and mind then and now to us today, the logos of God. Really? The Alpha, the Omega? Jesus said, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is the first word and the last word, the conclusive final disclosure of God's magnificent message. Jesus is God's divine love letter, living love letter to you and to me, to all of humanity. John 3:16, as I mentioned, for God so loved the world. Each one, you can put your name right in that place. For God so loves you, me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him might not perish, but have everlasting life. This child in the manger, the Word made flesh, the Logos of God, what child is this? Secondly, we read later on in this chapter in verses 29 and 36, behold the Lamb of God, Agnus Dei, as we sang in Latin back in the day, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Perhaps you've sung, Mary had a little lamb. In this case, His name is Jesus. Mary comes to bear the Lamb of God. A lamb? Maybe you have a hard time relating to Jesus as meek and mild and a lamb. Maybe you'd rather see Him as the Lion of Judah. Well, that's in there too. But in this case, in this passage, we consider this lamb. Because Israel was familiar with lambs. Every year at Passover, they remembered when God liberated His people from slavery in Egypt. The lamb's blood was spread on the doorposts of every Hebrew household, and the angel of death passed over. So our deliverer, even today, is the one whose blood was spilt, that Lamb of God. The Passover festival is the historical context for Christ's passion, His crucifixion, and His resurrection, and later on in His life. As all of the lambs were being driven from the fields of Bethlehem and the surrounding countryside that week for the Passover celebration in Jesus' day. In Jerusalem, Jesus Himself rode on the back of a donkey on Palm Sunday, the Lamb of God, the Passover fulfillment of all of this, all of these shadows, all of these types. And even at Christmas, as we gather this evening, the cross itself is the backdrop for the nativity scene that we have here, always reminding us that the destiny of Jesus, God's purpose, was that a Savior be born who would be the Lamb to be sacrificed, to die for our sins. Every Passover, the people would bring the Lamb to God for a sacrifice. Here, we see God bringing the Lamb to all humanity. Little lambs in Old Testament sacrifices didn't really take away sin. They just pointed to the one that was to come. These spotless, perfect, unblemished sacrifices were fulfilled in Christ. The true, perfect, unblemished sacrifice, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for the sins of the world. These lambs of Passover were for Israel. But now this Lamb, the Lamb of God, is for the sins of the whole world. Jesus, as our Lamb of God, is our vicarious sacrifice. In Him, we experience life. It's really quite a bargain. It's quite a deal. He took our place. He gave His life. We receive eternal life. He took our sin. We receive His righteousness. He took our penalty for sin. We receive His pardon and grace. He took the curse of our sin so that we might receive the blessing of God. It's really not fair in the reality of things. This innocent Lamb, Christ, never sinned. But God saw that all we like sheep go astray. God laid on Him the iniquity of us all so that we might be holy and righteous without blemish, presented to God after all. This Lamb of God is the agent of God's amazing grace and infinite mercy. Praise God. You can't really understand the nature and identity of the Savior unless you understand this point. You can't really understand and grasp the essence of Christian faith unless you understand the sacrificial identity of Christ, the Lamb of God. Jesus is the Logos, and Jesus is the Lamb of God. And one more thing, Jesus is the light of the world. In verses 4 through 9, it talks about this light that was coming into the world. Before, God had showed lesser lights, prophets, the law itself shone the light of God's truth. But now God shined upon all the world. The light, the true light, whose purpose was to enlighten, that people, all people, might believe. God's grand divine design and desire was full enlightenment, total knowledge, complete understanding of His redemptive purposes. This full revelation comes to us after centuries of prophecies coming now fulfilled in Christ. The problem is, men didn't recognize the light. Therefore, as John writes, men didn't receive the light. He says that their lives were too filled with darkness or sin. We, like they, chose copies, little lights. Instead of the true light, instead of the original light of the world, the light of men, there's still in our hearts too much darkness within. The context for John 3:16, that classic verse that many of us know and memorized, "For God so loved the world," I'll repeat it, "that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Listen to what follows. We don't often think about that. "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, and whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." Interesting context. Building from John chapter 1, building and building all the way through, this is the verdict. The light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of the light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that what has been seen may be plainly seen, that what he has done through God. Just so, that as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God, verse 12 of chapter 1. Tonight, the key question is, have you received Christ into your heart? You haven't really experienced Christmas until by faith you've opened your heart to the light of Christ, the true light. Christ, the most precious, most important gift that you'll ever receive. Christ, salvation through him, eternal life received by faith. Tonight, have you turned from your sin? Have you turned over to him your life? Have you acknowledged your need of the Savior, of the light in your life, and found true illumination? Have you experienced salvation for yourself? You can have this light not because you're here in church tonight or any time, not by any good things that you might do, but only by Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Only when you open your heart, the shadows and darkness in the corners of your heart, and allow God's light in Christ to come in and shine in your heart by the Holy Spirit with a prayer of faith. Lord, come into my heart. I want this gift. Every gift you received tomorrow, or tonight if you open them Christmas Eve, as you unwrap, think, have I unwrapped the gift of God? Have I received this by faith? For it's by faith that we receive this shining light of Christ. Jesus is indeed the true star of Christmas. There are many lesser luminaries in this world, and I love to hear the stories every year. Frosty, and Rudolph, and Santa, and the Grinch, right? But really, the true star of Christmas is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Our privilege as believers when Christ comes into our hearts is that we can shine in this world for him. Jesus told us who believe, you are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your light, they may see your good deeds and glorify your God, your Father in heaven. That's what these luminaries all around us represent, that Jesus came to shine in the darkness to lead us, to lead the way. When we initially conceived this idea, we thought they'd all be out on the sidewalk bringing people in, but then we thought they're not too heavy, they'd probably blow away, and so we bring them in. But anyhow, as you think about people who have been shining lights, guiding lights in your life, for whom all these luminaries represent, ultimately, Jesus was the one shining through them, and I pray that you and I this day might receive the light so that light might shine from us into this world of shadows. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the truth and power of your word that guides us. We thank you that you have brought us here tonight to hear this holy word. You are the word. You are the Logos. Come and speak to our hearts. You are the Lamb who takes away the sin, my sin, our sin, the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. And you are the light. O Lord, open our hearts and minds to receive, that in receiving we might become children of God. In Jesus' name, amen. On the back of your bulletin, you have the words to Silent Night. And at some point,
this evening. The lights will go off. I never know when. But I want to invite you to share the light of Christ with those around you. Take the light and have the person next to you dip the candle into yours, actually. Don't try and dip your lit candle, but share it with all around you. As we sing Silent Night, let's stand as we sing. Hold still. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy silent night, holy God, wondrous star, lend thy light, with the angels let us sing, alleluia, to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
God bless you and Merry Christmas. Take your light, the light that Christ shines in your heart, and share it with a world in shadows. Go and light this world with the love of God. Know that His light can never be extinguished. And you are agents of His light. You are His luminaries. Go in the light of His life. Now and forever. Amen.